Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Devin, and I have a co-host, Cookie, and we are presenting the Magic Man Hour.
How's it going, everybody?
That's Cookie. So we're going to start things off with talking about the Seahawks. So, Cookie, any thoughts?
Well, Devin, you're a big Seahawks fan right now, so I'm going to kick it to you. How do you feel about the Seahawks so far after the game?
Well, with the Seahawks being ranked number one in the power rankings in the preseason, and halfway through the year now, we're 7-1, pretty solid, losing to the Colts.
Hey. Can't complain.
No, you can't. But now we've dropped to fourth behind the Chiefs, Broncos, and Colts. Now, I can see the Broncos and Chiefs, but I'm not too sure about the Colts. They are a pretty good team, but they're very, how would you say it?
They're very streaky.
They're very streaky. And they just lost Reggie Wayne for the season.
I mean, they got trampled by the Chargers, and they come out and beat the Broncos. You don't know which team they're going to be each week.
It's very true. Also, the Seahawks, we lost Sidney Rice tonight on Monday night against the Rams.
That's rough.
So, we need Harvin to come back soon.
As much as I hate Sidney, it's a big loss.
Yeah, it is true. And how about that Monday night's game? How do you feel about Golden Tate, or should I say Golden Wave?
I loved it. I'm a Golden Tate supporter, defender. Probably shouldn't have done it, but being a Seahawks fan, it was good to see. It was good to see him.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling it immature, like the Dez Bryant rant, but I just think he was being a little cocky and kind of needs to tone it down. And, you know, Pete was all over him on that, so we'll go on.
You know, Pete got on him. He won't do it again, but it was good to see once.
It was. It was very funny. It will definitely be one of those plays in history that people remember.
Definitely.
So how do we – the Seahawks as a whole, I'm a little concerned for the playoffs. If we keep continuing to win on the road and at home – because I have no fear we'll lose at home.
Yeah.
But on the road, we have been cutting it close against the Panthers and Rams.
It's true.
Our offensive line gave up 7 sacks last night, which is ridiculous. Good so team. We are out of Russell Okun, and he is coming back soon. And he's a big threat, so we just need to wait on that. But if we don't get our offensive line back and Lynch doesn't keep doing what he's doing amazing already, and Wilson just needs to be able to have time to pass. So it all kind of falls back on our offensive line, I think. What do you think, Cookie?
Yeah, I agree. And, we cut it close against Carolina and St. Louis, but I feel, the Seahawks team last year, those were games they would have lost. I think they've definitely taken a big step forward. And they're a team that, they're going to face adversity. Their offensive line is, half its decimated right now, but they still won. I think that's what's most important.
It's true. It was a very big step in adversity. And we wouldn't have won without Earl Thomas.
Oh, no. The Roadrunner.
Yeah, the Roadrunner, as Sherman calls him. So, and I think that without Sherman, Browner, Cam, and Earl, we wouldn't be anywhere where we are now.
Legion
of Boom. So. But now we're going to go talk about the NFL Moors Abroad. So, Cookie, what are some surprise teams this year for you?
Well, I mean, I think you got to start with the Chiefs. I mean,
true.
They won 2 games last year.
2 games,
right? They're
undefeated.
They always knew the Chiefs had a good defense, but when you're banking on Matt Castle as your starting quarterback, you lose Jamal Charles. I mean, it's not going to look great. But I think people thought the Chiefs are definitely going to be improved with Alex Smith, but I don't think anybody saw them being 8-0.
Now, what do you think the big reason for them being 8-0 is? Describe their Ed Reed's strategy, if you would.
I think he really knows how to use Alex Smith. I think, Alex Smith is a very average quarterback. He wins a lot, but he's a very conservative quarterback. And I think Andy Reid realizes that they have a great defense. They don't need to take a lot of chances on offense. They have Jamal Charles, who they can pound it to. They can pass it to, and he's made it so that Alex Smith isn't forced to, throw really outside of the numbers or take any chances in that. I think that's helped their team a lot.
I agree completely. I think the Chiefs won't lose until they play the Broncos. And then even then, the game will be very interesting, as the Broncos lost to the Colts. So I definitely think the NFC Championship game is going to be the Chiefs and Broncos. But it's AFC still pretty early in the season. So
AFC
Championship. AFC.
Yeah, I can definitely see them losing to the Broncos. I think there's something to be said about the Chiefs defense being they're very good. They're one of the best defenses in the league, obviously. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. I think there's a chance he could really pick apart that defense, and Alex Smith might not be able to keep the Chiefs in the game with their conservative offense.
That's true. And Peyton Manning's attack is he barely holds the ball for more than 5 seconds. And you, even if he had the best offensive line in the world, it wouldn't matter because you can't get to a quarterback in 5 seconds with the crappiest quarterback in the world or crappiest offensive line in the world. So
true.
Who's another big surprise team for you, Cookie?
I've been pretty impressed by the Jets this year. I mean,
yeah,
you know, after, you know, the Sanchez era kind of came to a fiery end and just how terribly dysfunctional that team was last year. You know, the questions around Geno Smith, whether he's good enough. Yeah, I've just been pretty impressed. You know, you've obviously, you know, they've played very poorly. They're 4-4. They're very inconsistent. You know, they'll go beat Atlanta in Atlanta on Monday night, you know, and come out and lose the next week to a not-so-great team. You know, they'll beat the Patriots and then just get decimated by the Bengals. But, you know, I've been impressed. I mean, 4-4, I mean, if I'm a diehard Jets fan, I'm pretty happy with where my team is right now with Geno.
I agree. I think Geno is definitely an up-and-coming quarterback, hopefully,
yeah,
if he keeps his groove on and gets more consistent. And I also think part of that is to the running back.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean Green was maybe the worst running back I've ever seen. And, you know, I think Rex Ryan is finally sort of getting it. They need a quarterback to win. You can't just rely on defense and pounding the ball with Sean Green. That's just not going to work. So it's nice to see Rex Ryan kind of step into the future of the NFL.
That's true. That's very true. And I think another surprising team that's surprised the whole NFL is the Colts. I mean, halfway through the season, they're ranked at number one in preseason, or number three, sorry. In preseason, they were ranked at number 10. I mean, we knew they were going to be good, Andrew Luck and all, and all the receivers and threats, but beating the two top-ranked teams is pretty impressive, so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody foresaw them as being an elite team.
No, no one did.
You know, like you said, you know, Andrew Luck's great. I knew they were going to be good, but, I mean, it definitely taken a lot bigger step forward than a lot of people expected.
And granted, both their wins were home games, and
yeah,
it's easier to play at home than on the road. But still, defeating two elite powerhouse teams is,
you know, especially Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning coming back to Indianapolis—that's just a great win.
That was. It was a great statement.
Yeah, I've been pretty impressed with the Browns, honestly.
Yeah, the Browns have shocked a lot of us. You know, they're not doing great, but like the Browns last year to compare to the Browns this year is absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
I think when everyone heard they're trading Trent Richardson, everyone was like, "Well, yeah, that's it for the Browns. You know, they're just tanking it."
Yeah.
But they played well. I mean, they played well right after they traded Richardson, and they, you know, I think they sort of showed that Trent Richardson really isn't that incredible of a running back. I mean, he, you know, he's good, but the way he's played as a Colts, he showed he's really nothing more than, you know, like Donald Brown. You know,
exactly.
And I think that's a good trade. I think that's a good trade.
Yeah, I think the trade for both the Colts and the Browns was awesome. The best thing that the Browns did was get rid of Trent. And after the week after they got rid of Trent, they won. So the Colts are doing better. So
how do you feel about the Lions, Devin?
Well, you know, I feel like they've had, you know, they're a pretty 500 team, and people are like, oh, you know, it's the Browns. It's Detroit. But, like, now they're, like, 5-3 and only a half game back from Green Bay.
Yeah.
Which is, like, whoa. I mean, it's not a very competitive, you know, division. But still, I mean, part of it is due to, like, they haven't played very well teams and good defensive teams. And they've just kind of picked them apart. Calvin Johnson has gone off last week.
Yes.
329 receiving yards.
That's crazy.
Just, that's under. That's unheard of. It's never done. So what do you think, Cookie?
You know, I think, I mean, last year I felt that they probably should have fired Jim Schwartz as their coach. And I found it a little puzzling, honestly, if they kept him as a coach. He's a fiery guy. I like him as a coach. But yeah, I think they're a good team. I think they've improved their defense this year. And I think, you know, with the addition of Reggie Bush, you know, they've just added a really big dynamic to their offense. Like, a guy who can run the ball, they can also pass to. You know, you got Calvin Johnson. I think Matthew Stafford is sort of back in that, you know, outside elite. Not quite elite, but, you know, I mean, that play against the Cowboys.
He's still young. He's still young.
But, you know, I think he's definitely put himself back in the conversation, being, you know, good, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
I agree. And I definitely think that you know, if Detroit wins their next game against Green Bay, and this they're all tied up, and I definitely think that Detroit could have a chance of going to the playoffs, but there definitely won't be, they won't win any games in the playoffs, but they could make it to the playoffs. So
I do have that sort of weird, you know, feeling where Detroit's just going to tank, you know, like the next half of the year. There always sort of is that feeling with Detroit where it could just, the wheels could fall off at any second.
It's true. They're holding on by a thread, so, but that thread is pretty strong right now. Now, let's talk about everyone's favorite division, the NFC East.
Ooh, this reminds me of the NFC West when sub-500 Seahawks went to the playoffs. Just real terrible.
7-9 going to the playoffs and beating New Orleans. So, I mean, it's pretty embarrassing. The Giants losing their first six games and RG3 being a big bust. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to come back and be your normal RG3. No, you can't come back from an injury like that.
And not playing the preseason they expect you to
see. Yeah, it's, they're on a little roll now, but and Philadelphia came out looking so strong, but then Vic's hurt, and they just have no defense, but they have a dominant, not a dominant, but a very good offense, so.
You know, I mean, the problem with that in the NFL is, you know, it doesn't work. I mean, it's a gimmick, and, you know, I think this sort of, I mean, their defense is already terrible, and then having them on the field for just a ridiculous amount of time, it's just not going to work out.
It's not going to fly, yeah. And then Dallas is kind of...
Good Lord. Where do you even start with Dallas?
Dallas...
They have to be the most unlucky team in the history of the NFL. I mean, just the way they lose... Like, how can you even be a Cowboys fan? Like, the way that they lose games would just rip my heart out. Like, I don't think I could recover from that loss against the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, I definitely don't know how the Cowboys can feel right now. I mean, they are 500, 4-4, but they have played.
They should be a lot better.
They're the most talented, raw talented team in the NFL. And they almost beat, they gave the Broncos their best run for the money in the season. And
that was arguably Romo's best game ever.
Yeah, Romo threw over 500 yards.
And just that one pick.
One pick that ruined it. So, I mean, the NFC East is just, it's pretty painful. It's always been rough, and normally all the teams are a little more around 500, but it's not gonna be pretty this year on who's getting that title.
Who do you think is gonna go from the NFC East to the playoffs? You have to think the Cowboys, right? I mean, is there any other team that really shows that they can overcome the Cowboys despite their dysfunction?
You know, if it were to be a team, it would be Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know. In the NFC East, you can never know. I don't think the Giants stand a chance.
I mean,
unless they come back and win every game, which they definitely will not because they play Seattle at Seattle.
I mean, as terrible as the Giants have been, they're two games out of first place, which is incredible.
Well, it's just an awful division, Cookie. It's very bad. So, and I have Washington will not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, their defense is atrocious.
They have a lot. They're in another rebuilding stage as they were last year. So,
yeah. All right, so we talked about some teams that have been really surprising, so let's move on to some teams that have been surprisingly bad.
Okay, I have a team for you.
All right.
How about the Atlanta Falcons?
Wow, I mean, this is probably, you know, the most surprising. I mean, you know, even, you know, Roddy White's, you know, been injured. You know, I think it's really weird that he decided to play just through his injury because he sort of uses his decoy. And I don't think it, you know, really helped. I think it was to the detriment of his team. And, you know, I think it's something when, you know, guys are, you know, like, hey, I've never missed a game. But I think there's a certain time where, you know, I think if Roddy White would have sat out, like, 1, maybe 2 weeks, he could have been back, you know, fully healthy by week 3. But, you know, they had Julio Jones, they had Tony Gonzalez, they had Steven Jackson. And
it's true. They lost Julio for the year, so.
You know, Julio's out. You know, they didn't look all that great, you know, before the injuries. And that could have been their defense, but it looked like there was definite regression there, and I'm not really sure why. You know, now with all the injuries, who knows where they'll end up.
Yeah, and they came into the season power ranking number 4, yeah. You know. And I honestly think that they shouldn't have beat the Seahawks last year in the playoffs. It was the only thing that Wilson did wrong was just score too fast. So the defense did give up 2 really long passes, which was not good, but still. I mean, Atlanta right now is 4 games back from New Orleans, and they have no chance on going to the playoffs at all this year.
I mean, it's a real shame. You know, preseason, they were looking, you know, it's looking like Seahawks, Niners, Falcons, you know, the favorites.
Exactly, yeah. And even San Fran has been a little bit of a disappointment. So mm-hmm. they haven't played really tough teams, but they're still somehow 6-2. So, but we'll get to the 49ers later.
What do you feel about? How do you feel about the Bucs?
You know, it's really sad with the Buccaneers not, you know, winning a game at all. It's always sad.
I mean,
when a team doesn't win a game.
You know, in the preseason, you know, I think Shiano's a terrible coach. I think they should have fired him last year. Mm-hmm. I think that guy's just a clown, honestly. But, you know, right when I heard that they took Freeman's captain status preseason, I mean, that just had, like, 2-14 written all over it.
It was a disaster from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Freeman, he played well. I mean, he that year was like 25-6 touchdown interception. He was a good quarterback. And I think, you know, sometimes you bring in these coaches like Shiano or, you know, Rex Ryan, and they can really just, you know, break a quarterback's confidence. You know, I don't think Mark Sanchez is as terrible as he played. You know, I think it was a really poor situation for him, and I think he just lost it mentally. I think that's what happened to Freeman too, and I don't think it'll ever be the same.
Yeah. I feel with the Buccaneers is how they kind of went out and bought some really, like, expensive players like Darrelle Revis, who they could have totally bought a quarterback and some linemen, defense, but
it's baffling the way they're using Revis, you know.
They're putting Revis in a zone when he's a man lockdown corner, so it makes no sense.
That whole organization.
It's like having J.J. Watt go out and try to guard Dez Bryant or something. It just won't happen, you know.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, that was a little extreme.
J.J. Watt's like 300 pounds.
I know, he's a monster.
Speaking of J.J. Watt, plays for the Texans, who have been a total train wreck this year.
It's so true. The Texans have been truly awful. They came in to the season ranked
seventh,
which it's a little generous, you know, but they have fallen apart.
I mean, you know, they did add, you know, Ed Reed.
It's true.
You know, they got Hopkins in the draft, you know, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster.
They have a great offense. They have an amazing defense. They have an amazing front seven, I should say. But the thing they're lacking is a leader, and Matt Schaub sucks.
I mean, there's really no other
way to put it. He had six consecutive games with a pick six.
Which is out of control.
That's a new NFL record. New NFL record.
A lot of them 100% his fault. As good as Richard Sherman is, he should not have thrown that ball.
No.
They should have ran the ball. I don't know why they're calling a pass play in that situation. I'm glad, because as a Seahawks fan, I'm glad they won that game.
That was kind of the start to their demoralizing season. So,
you know, Chubb's career has been pretty interesting because, you know, he had that one year with Andre Johnson where, you know, Andre Johnson led receiving, he led passing yards, and, you know, it looked like they, you know, finally found, like, a really good quarterback. But, you know, his regression just started from that season, and, you know, I think they kind of, you know, held on to him for one season too long, and, you know, this season he just really showed that he shouldn't be a starting quarterback anymore.
Yeah, they need to go out, and I agree with, who is their backup quarterback?
Case Keenum.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Keenum should be in and over Schaub. Schaub is...
And that's sad, because, you know, anytime you go from any quarterback to Case Keenum, and it's not a significant downgrade, and that's just not good.
It's not good at all. I mean, they're three games back from Indianapolis, and they have no chance at all of going to the playoffs. So, which is a shame, because they're a very strong defensively team. Cookie, how do you feel about the Steelers?
You know, I had to have been sometime. You know, the Steelers sort of had, I don't want to say a dynasty, but just sort of this legacy. You know, you remember the Super Bowl team 2005.
How can you forget the 2005?
But, you know, I mean, they've always prided themselves on, you know, great defense and, you know, Ben is a leader. But in recent years, they've really struggled on offense specifically. I mean, not passing the ball necessarily, but, you know, really running the ball. And just never found the guy. They have Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they have been playing better lately, but I think they're in the middle of a rebuilding process. And...
yeah,
they really need to improve their defense and, you know, just find out who they have.
They're kind of like a Giants, except more disappointing because they have a huge legacy. You know, it's like, oh, it's the Steelers. You know, they're tied for the most Super Bowl wins ever. And so it's just...
their offensive line, they lost their center, correct?
Yes, they did.
Pouncey
with another ACL twice, 2 years in a row. So
yeah, and, you know, preseason they're at 16. You know, a lot of people thought they, I mean, they were 8-8 last year. I mean, there's obviously probably going to be some regression there, but yeah, I don't think people, nobody thought they were going to be this bad.
No, they are really bad. So it's a pretty big disappointment. And, you know, personally, I don't like the Steelers from the 2005 Super Bowl.
How can you? How can you?
And even as a Steelers, they're just kind of slimy people. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is just kind of like...
Not a great off-the-field record.
No, he doesn't... He
really has not getting it done.
He has a bad track record with him. So they're just kind of... A
lot not to like there. Luckily, James Harrison is gone.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. So, Cookie, let's move on from teams to players.
All right.
Who is a surprise player for you this year? Okay, well, I have one, Cookie.
All right.
I definitely think that T.Y. Hilton is a very good, you know, he kind of had a breakout year last year, but he is definitely, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, statistically, he's very, you know, up and down. I mean, he had a great game against the Seahawks, and he really showed that he has talent. The Colts are their team where they want to be like Seattle. Yeah, I mean, they traded for Richardson. You know, they just want to pound the ball. You know, they want to, like, end the fourth quarter running the ball. They just want to be a power-run team. You know, they have guys like Hilton, and Richardson's really not that good. So, you know, I think with Reggie Wayne out, I think Hilton is a guy that's really going to take a step forward and show that, you know, he's, you know, maybe not an elite receiver, but definitely, you know, top 20.
Yeah. I think another surprise player is Alex Smith. I mean, he's always been solid, and he did well in San Fran. You know, San Fran wasn't bad, but I think that he is definitely, you know, proving that, like, there can be a slower, more dumbed-down offense. So that's what I think about that.
Yeah.
So how about a bust player, someone who's just kind of been like, whoa, what happened to you?
I mean, I guess start with MJD. I mean, I understand he's in a terrible situation. I mean, they lost Luke Jokel. He's playing well. They traded their left tackle, Eugene Monroe. So, I mean, they're down every game. The Jags are down every game. So there's obviously not a lot of opportunities. But, you know, when they've given him the opportunity, he hasn't looked that good. You know,
it's true.
He doesn't look like the MJD of old. And, you know, coming into the season, a lot of people thought, you know, coming off the injury, he looked really good, and he was, good player this year. It's a contract year, too, so it's really baffling.
Yeah, I think with Jones-Drew, it's kind of just like, well, you were power back in your day, but I feel like he's kind of just like, wow, I'm with the worst team in the NFL right now, and I don't really want to put the effort out.
It's got to be demoralizing.
It's to lose every game, I can't imagine it. So, how about another player, Cookie? Who's another bust?
You know, Josh Freeman didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, the talent has always been there. And, you know, with the improved defense, I thought, you know, he definitely wasn't going to regress. I thought he'd, you know, take a step forward back to where it was, but dead wrong. I mean, Freeman has looked awful. I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, he used to be a very accurate quarterback, and now he can't throw the ball to a receiver when he's open. He can't hit the broadside of a barn.
No, he's been struggling, and he's in the same situation as Matt Schaub, you know. Just kind of like, what do we do next with you?
I mean, I think he's out of the league after this year. I mean, you know, somebody will probably take him as a backup, but, you know, I can't see any of the team trusting him as their starter from here on out.
We won't hear of Freeman again. So,
which is sad. I like the guy.
Let's go back to the Seahawks, since we're a pretty Seahawks-loving crew here. So I think that the whole Sherman thing, everyone's just knowing him for trash talking, is pretty mean, you know? It's like...
Pretty mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty mean. I guess mean's a pretty child word, but, you know, he is a very smart, caring guy. So we just... He's so smart, too. He graduated from Stanford with I think it was over a 3.5, and he graduated from high school with a 4.2, and one of his biggest regrets was not being first in his class, and he was second, and I was like, whoa, you know, so, and he is a very good player. I think, personally, he'll be one of the best cornerbacks of all time, and he'll eventually outbeat Revis, so.
I agree. Yeah, you know, it's nice to have, a guy who is known for trash talking, on the field, but can, really back it off the field. He's very well spoken. He does a lot of great off the field stuff too, so it's nice to have a guy like that on your team. And I think he is overly criticized.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks will keep him and maybe franchise him, but definitely he's a player to stay. He is the heart and mouth of our defense, along with Earl Thomas. So,
how do you feel about the Legion of Boom going forward, though?
The Legion of Boom, I think this might be its last year. Browner is 29 years old, and he definitely is the weakest link of the Legion of Boom. He got diced and sliced by T.Y. Hilton, and mostly because he trash-talked Hilton and was like, you have nothing on me, you're just a nobody. And next thing you know, Browner pretty much lost the game for us. But I think Cam is doing great. Young. Earl's phenomenal. Earl could be up for MVP defensive player easily.
Oh, yeah. After that St. Louis performance, he won us a game.
He is all over the place. He is phenomenal. But I think Sherman still is like the back end. But I definitely can see us trading Browner, maybe, trying to get someone else. But it would be tough to – I think Walter Thurman has potential too, But.
Yeah. How would you feel if they, let's say they traded, Browner, he didn't re-sign with the team. Like, how would you feel if there's a smaller quarterback on the other side of Sherman? Do you think it would be the same dynamic, or do you think it would affect the defense at all?
I think it would be a little – I think it would definitely affect our defensive calling. Because the thing is with the Legion of Boom, like, the smallest player is Earl Thomas, and he's the free safety, But, like, Sherman's the shortest corner at 6'1", like, 225 pounds. That's ridiculous. That's, like, almost a linebacker. So, like, having two big – and Browner's 6'4". Just having two big corners is huge. So, I don't think we'll get rid of him this year. I think in the future, when he's two more years down the road, I think we'll trade him. But I definitely think Pete Carroll, if he stays – which I believe he will because he's done amazing things for the city. I think he'll look for a new corner. So,
yeah, I would agree.
I don't think they'll go small corner, though. Not the way the Seahawks have revolutionized the secondary. Cookie, let's move away from the NFL All
right.
and sports, and let's talk about something else that men like to watch.
What is that? James Bond.
James Bond. Cookie, start us off.
Well, honestly, I'm obsessed with James Bond. I love James Bond. From Connery to Craig, I don't think it gets much better. Would you agree?
I don't think it does. I remember just having my dad, when I was little, watching James Bond movies and be like, wow, this is every little boy's dream, is to be James Bond.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the coolest guy there is. Coolest guy in the room. And Craig as Bond has been incredible. These last three movies have been great.
Craig has been truly phenomenal. Cookie, how do you feel about, though, Casino Royale and the jump straight into Quantum of Solace, like a direct sequel, never done before, criticized a lot. How do you feel?
I liked it. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people didn't like Quantum of Solace, because I think it's hard to go into the theater. And, I mean, they're a lot better when you watch Casino Royale, right before Quantum of Solace, obviously, because they're sequels. And I think a lot of people just didn't expect that. And they were sort of, hazy on the details from Casino Royale. And I think that really affected their enjoyment of the movie. But I think they went and, rewatched Casino Royale, they watched Quantum of Solace, they really liked it. Because I think Quantum of Solace is a great movie.
I think the thing with Casino Royale, the Quantum of Solace, was people weren't expecting the sequel. And it threw people off a little, too, when James Bond went from his girlfriend died to getting the guy who killed her, to interrogating him, to chasing him down, all of a sudden to tracking down some water terrorist in, Africa. It was a little throwing to all of us. We were kind of like...
It was South America.
Okay, South America.
A lot of people had a problem with the plot of this movie, which I didn't really understand. I mean, I think a lot of people were, refreshed. Because, the last Brosnan movie, that was the most... I mean, even Roger Moore came out and said they went a little too far. And he was in freaking space... He was a James Bond in space, which is that's the biggest cliche for when something is jumped the shark, when they say, yeah, let's do it in space. Like, that's just a joke. And that happened. And then for Roger Moore to come out and be like, yeah, I think they went a little too far, that's saying something. So, I think a lot of people really like the realism of the Craig movies. And I think, as far as villains go, you look back at the old villains, they're just caricatures and they have shark tanks that they throw people in, and they're like trying to cut James Bond in half. You know, I thought it was, you know, nice to see a villain that was doing something that
is realistic.
It's realistic. I mean, it's very sinister. You know, water, stealing a water supply, and yeah, I didn't think there was a lot of, you know, I mean, there's obviously a political message to it. You know, it's like that water's important. You know, which is true. I mean, they're not saying anything that, you know, too outlandish, and I didn't really have a problem with it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just think, though, people were expecting more. I mean, the movie itself, like, the action and stuff was awesome. The opening car scene.
Oh, gosh.
Like, from Casino Royale not having one to that, just first thing off the back, one of the best car scenes ever. And the most realistic, too. You know, the Aston Martin's not shooting lasers out of the back or dropping things and oil slicks.
It's not invisible.
Yeah, exactly. Or can swim underwater and turn into a submarine. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But how do you feel? Now, we know that MGM had a little financial problem. Mm-hmm. And they waited 4 years, but the contract was still signed for Skyfall. And there was a lot of doubt if Skyfall or the whole Bond movie was going to be scratched. Mm-hmm. You know, if Craig was going to stay, the writers were going to stay, the directors.
Right.
So there was a lot of doubt. But, like, just the writers kept writing, and they had to keep it updated because it was 4 years, so they had to make it modern time. They kept writing and made it better, and they finally just went really deep into the character of Craig. It was one of the best Bond movies, I think, of all time.
I agree. You know, and it's really interesting because the two guys, Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, they've been writing since the Brosnan era, and I thought it was really interesting that, you know, MGM kept them to write the new Craig movies just after, you know, nobody really liked the Brosnan, you know, the last Brosnan movie. I mean, that's just going out with a bitter taste in your mouth. And, you know, they're not terrible writers. You know, Paul Haggis came in, who's like, he directed Crash, won an Academy Award for it, and I think they're good writers when they're sort of like shaped and like told what to do. And yeah, you know, I think that, what was the question?
Just your general thoughts on Skyfall, you know?
I think Skyfall is a good movie, and I think they really did a good job exploring, you know, the psyche of James Bond beyond, you know, like, his, like, relationship.
Like, his womanizing and his shooting and killing. And they really dove deep into, like, his orphanage and parents going and, you know.
Yeah, you know, Purvis and Wade aren't going to be on for the next Bond movie, which you know, I'm into. As much as I like Skyfall, you know, there's sort of something silly, of, you know, about the villain that plans everything ahead, like, 10 years in advance. And, like, it doesn't really make sense when you think about it, but it's there's so many great things that you don't really notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, Skyfall made a huge amount of money.
It summed like something like 10, or I think it was like 10 times like what it cost to make, or just something.
I mean, there's definitely incentive to make another one. And they really like what they have with Sam Mendes as a director. Mm-hmm. You know, Mendes didn't think he was going to be able to direct the next one, because he has a really busy schedule, but they said they're willing to wait for him to, you know, make time, and I think it's really going to pay off for him.
I do too. So Craig signed for two more, 24 and 25. So then after that, you know,
What do you think about the future of Bond after Craig? You know, it's 20. I mean, they're running out of, you know, stories from the books.
They definitely are running out of stories for the books. I think I can see them just kind of doing a branch off and making up their own stories as they go along the way. Mm-hmm. Or just maybe picking one story and doing a sequel off that, like they did with Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't very popular. So they're, I don't know, they did redo Casino Royale, which was originally the TV show. But
right.
They definitely brought that one back in, finally.
And Quantum of Solace, you know, was original. The only thing original about it was the title. You know, I think there's potential there, but I don't know. The future after Craig is something that is uncertain.
It's definitely, we've all thought of James Bond as Daniel Craig now. I mean, he even came into the Olympics in London parachuting down as James Bond. It was pretty awesome. And he went and protected the Queen and went up to her. It was cool. It was cool. But
cool.
So we don't know where that will go. But Skyfall, definitely the whole plot and the very end, the standoff at the house.
Oh, that's great.
It was pretty cool. And the surprise twist at the end that no one saw. So,
I mean, and, you know, I think Quantum of Solace was definitely going for the most artiest Bond film, I guess, you know, based on the plot and just the way it was directed. You know, Sam Mendes is an incredible director. I thought he did a great job. You know, I wasn't sure how he'd handle action scenes, but I think he did a great job. And the cinematography by Roger Deakins was incredible. I mean, you know, like when Bond's in Tokyo, like the blue mm-hmm. and like the pink and the green, I thought that was incredible. And like, you know, the fire, I just thought it was the best looking Bond film by far.
Yeah, and Quantum of Solace was apparently done by the Four Elements.
Yeah, the action scenes were.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The fire at the end, the, what was it, Cookie?
So in Quantum of Solace, there's the car chase through the quarry, which is Earth, and there's a boat chase, water. There's air when he's in the airplane, and then fire at the end when the hotel thing catches fire. Wait, both of them ended in fire. Didn't think about that.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool thing to think about, you know, it's like... Wow, that's pretty artistic. So the only thing, going back to Skyfall, the only thing I think I had a problem with was James Bond getting shot off a train and falling a couple hundred feet and surviving, and then doing shots with scorpions on his hand. So
you know, I'll take that over Invisible Cars any day.
That's true. That's true.
And Halle Berry, who is the worst Bond girl.
She was.
You heard it here first.
She was definitely bad. So, I think that wraps it up for the Magic Man Hour with Cookie and Devin. We'll come back next week, if this one's successful, and talk more about sports, maybe some movies, some other things that men like to do and whatnot. We'll talk a little NBA.
NBA, starting tonight. Yeah. Heat one.
Already starting off for the three-peat. Will they do it? Will they won't?
Find out next week.
We'll find out. Thanks for stopping in, and we will talk to you later.